begin the session. In this evening session, we'll mostly have senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and you are yet to come here, they're expected. So we'll begin with Her Grace Nartaki Mataji. She's a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She's based in our Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and she does a lot of service, lot of counseling. So I would request Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to kindly come on stage and make her offering.
Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschyatare Shatayani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadhara Sivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have to speak from my memory because and that's not very good because I left my notes in the room, and also I wasn't prepared actually to speak twice. I spoke this morning, that was more prepared. But anyway, I'll try and pray to Prabhupada to be able to repeat him properly. One time Srila Prabhupada spoke to an Indian person, aristocratic person, but not an initiated devotee. And he said to him, believe me or not. No, he said first that I have, by the grace of my spiritual master in Krishna, I've realized that going back to home, back to Godhead, is the most perfect goal of life. And then he said, believe it or not, I have the clue that after the demise of this body, I will go back home, back to Godhead. Don't think me to be an extraordinary person nor a madman. It is quite possible for one and all to reach that goal. And because of this, I have started my Back to Godhead magazine. He said, as I said, he was speaking to an Indian person. So that's why he said, believe it or not, he was not an initiated devotee. An initiated devotee, you wouldn't have to say that. He would definitely know that Srila Prabhupada is going back to Krishna. And then he said, because of this year, I have started my Back to Godhead magazine. Just to take all my contemporary men and women of this world along with me. And in this magazine, as we know, Back to Godhead, the articles are written with this aim to let people know what mood and what qualities one has to have in order to be able to go back home, back to Godhead. So this is all described, and it was always this Back to Godhead magazine shows the compassion of Srila Prabhupada, the mood that he wanted to take everyone along with him. He didn't want to go alone. And then he spoke also about how it is the... He said everyone can reach this goal, and that it was a natural consequence that he wanted to let others know also about how to reach that goal. Natural consequence, yeah, he said it like that. And So it, and how he said, he called this, he wanted to let everyone know his success, his story of success. Like I was just thinking, Srila Prabhupada is the best motivator. Like if you have people in businesses, business companies or so, they like to motivate their people, and the best way they can do that is by given an example of success in business. So Prabhupada, of course, his interest was not success in business, his interest was success in going back home, back to Godhead. So he wanted to let us know and encourage everyone that this is possible even in this lifetime. And I was just thinking, you know, at the departure of a Vaishnava Acharya or any elevated Vaishnava, we always think about all the great achievements they have accomplished in their lives. I was asking once someone from the Gaudiya Math of one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan when I was still living there, why the appearance of an Acharya is not so celebrated so much as it is his departure, his Tirubhav. So they were saying, because he has lived a whole life and preached and accomplished so many things in the service of Krishna, that everyone feels we want to celebrate that. So I have kind of looked up some of, I may not have listed all of them, but I'm sure one of you may want to speak about any of the achievements that you find outstanding of Srila Prabhupada's, but I tried to gather some things. In 1965, at 70 years of age, he ventured outside of India for the first time to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. During his voyage at sea, he suffered severe heart attacks. He reached the shores of America with the equivalent of $7 to his name. He founded the International Society of Krishna Consciousness with a small group of disciples after a year of struggling alone in New York City. This marked the only time in history that a Krishna devotee successfully trained non-Indians in the strict disciplines of Vaishnavism. Amazingly, this was achieved during the blossoming of America's hedonistic counterculture movement. Third, he sent his followers chanting the names of God into the streets of cities and towns everywhere, and Hare Krishna became famous in every corner of the earth. And Prabhupada very much encouraged us to do so. I remember when we first came to India, the two things he wanted us, everyone, to do, that is, go every day on Harinam and distribute prasadam, after he had started instituting that also here in the Dham. And it was very blissful to do that. Particularly, we were in the West, and sometimes in the West, going out on Harinam, you would meet people that would stand there with their arms folded like that and looking at us, you know, suspiciously. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Or something like that, you know. So, but when we came here, I tell you what, it was amazing. I remember we went down Bhaktisiddhanta Road towards Chaitanya Mat, and the Indians that saw us coming in a Harinam, and we were very blissful because we were in the holy place, and Prabhupada had told us so much about Mayapur Dham, and we were very anxious to be here and go to Chaitanya Mat. So our kirtan was very exuberant, and we were young, and we were dancing like that. But the Dhamvasis, they were so humble. They went after us and laid on the ground, were rolling on the ground. And I was just like, I was immediately in tears. I was just thinking, such elevated souls, they have such a reaction to seeing others chanting the Harinam. They're so pure, you know. And it was a very heart-rending kind of experience, you know, what love they had for the holy name. And I never forget that. And so Prabhupada is the one that brought this Hare Krishna to us. And even though in the West we didn't have that, those kind of wonderful experiences, but still people were appreciating very much. I remember when we went to Hollywood in Los Angeles, and every Saturday we would go there. When we had some big festival and we may not have gone that Saturday, the following Friday and Saturday we would go, so many people would tell us, we have come to Hollywood, but you weren't there. It was like we had not come to Hollywood. Hollywood without the Hare Krishna is not Hollywood. So, and one time Prabhupada came with a car, and we didn't know he would be coming, and he stopped there, and the windows were open, and he put his hands up in the air and indicated with a big smile how happy he was that we were chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, we started chanting even more when he was showing such happiness. And so this Harinam Sankirtan was always a wonderful experience. And then we had, of course, our god brother, famous god brother for Kirtan. Vishnujan. And he also could play for hours and hours the madranga. He would take us to shopping centers, and he wouldn't stop. He was just so immersed in the chanting of the holy name. Then he sent his disciples to London, where they recorded the single Hare Krishna mantra with George Harrison in 1969. It became the fastest selling of all Apple Corporation releases, including those of the Beatles. The record reached number 3 in Czechoslovakia, number 9 in Britain, and made a top 10 in Germany, Japan, Australia, South Africa, Yugoslavia, and many other countries. 5. He formally initiated approximately 5,000 disciples. These initiates represented a sweeping diversity of nationalities, races, ethnicities, and religious backgrounds. 6. He established 108 Krishna temples on 6 continents and installed the deity of Krishna in each center and trained his disciples in the process of deity worship. 32 new temples, almost 3 a month, were opened in the single year between 1770 and 1771. In Los Angeles, Shilavati was trained directly by Srila Prabhupada, and she trained many others, and one of the devotees that she trained was sent also to Australia when I was in Australia. And Madhavisa came also. And the whole, when Prabhupada came and installed Radha Gopinath there, the whole yatra picked up so much just by this wonderful deity worship. We had a little Lord Jagannath already, but we didn't really know how to worship him. The pictures on the altar, we had them all the wrong way around, and but somehow or other we until we found out how it was to be done properly, we still did it very lovingly. We tried to do nice deity worship according to what we knew. So then he He inaugurated the Ratha festival of Lord Jagannath in major cities around the globe, in effect bringing temple to the people. And that is the same principle that we have in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, that Lord Jagannath is on a cart with wheels and he is brought to the patients. Jagannath is so merciful. Everyone that sees him is benefited by. In the hospital, when the patients are satisfied with our services and they see Lord Jagannath, they get double benefit. 8. He instituted the Brahmacharini Ashram, something previously unheard of in Vedic culture. It was to give shelter to single women wishing to practice Krishna consciousness. Of course, he was very much criticized by his god brothers for that. But Prabhupada understood. He was very innovative to do something according to time, place and circumstance. In our countries, of course, there is not much difference between men and women. We don't see that difference between men and women. We feel everyone has the right. And actually, in Krishna's eyes, everyone has the right to approach him. So Prabhupada understood this, and he made it possible for us to also participate in Krishna consciousness and live at the temple in a pure atmosphere, because in our homes, of course, meat eating was there, so that made it really not possible for us to live there. 9. He instructed his disciples, and for that we are all very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, he also had to train us in many ways. Maybe I can speak on that some other time. I just want to go through the list. He instructed his disciples in 1967 to start an incense business to provide financial support for the temple. Within 4 years, the business, Spiritual Sky Incense, generated an annual revenue of $1 million. So Prabhupada was very ingenious to start something that would be very useful in Krishna consciousness. So if you ever see Ramananda's brother, Gargamuni Prabhu, he is still with us. So if you ever go to Vrindavan, you can ask him about the Spiritual Sky Incense. They went everywhere to boutiques and shops and even 7-Eleven gas stations, and everywhere this Spiritual Sky Incense was sold. And even we would use it also on Sankirtan and do something as a combination of sales and donation for the books and, you know, all these things. So people liked our incense. 10. He introduced the Sunday Love Feast and other prasadam distribution programs that provided millions of free meals to the public. As we know, Prabhupada didn't consider only poor people to be good recipients for having a Krishna conscious meal, because everyone is in need of spirituality and it starts with prasadam. So I think everyone has that that experience, that when you first come to Krishna consciousness, it's very, very wonderful to have prasadam in the temple with other devotees. 11. He created the world's first chain of vegetarian restaurants, Govindas. In every temple practically you have a Govindas, and it's a very nice place to bring relatives and friends to sit in a relaxed atmosphere and discuss Krishna consciousness. I remember in Los Angeles we had, besides the restaurant, also a bakery. And especially during the Christmas season, we had this huge walk-in ovens where there were trays, many, many trays of cakes and baked goods and blueberry cream cheese, cheesecake, blueberry, strawberry, raspberry, and the fragrance of the cookies and the baked goods would go all around the area, and people would stop just to find out what we were baking. And we were not only baking day, we were baking day and night, because we also packed cookies, and they were sold in shopping, in front of shopping malls in all kinds of areas, and people would love them so much they would come again. And anyway, there's many stories about that. They would just melt in the mouth. We had oatmeal raisin cookies, peanut butter cookies, and chocolate chip cookies. So he spoke daily on the Prabhupada. He spoke daily on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, delivering thousands of formal lectures. Over 2,200 were recorded and archived. His lectures are, of course, amazing. And actually, there's now also a new book coming out, or may have already come out, by Vaisheshika Prabhu, about book distribution, our family business, like that. And there's many, many nice stories there. And I remember Vaisheshika and Tripurari Maharaj and many others, my god sister Mula Prakriti, who has already passed away, and she also wrote a book on Prabhupada that is a must to read. It's wonderful. She interviewed many of Prabhupada's god brothers, etc. Hare Krishna. I think I should stop soon. I should stop now? Okay. Okay, so this is... of course, Prabhupada's achievements are unlimited, and how much effect he had on the hearts of so many people is not imaginable. So we are very much indebted to Srila Prabhupada and what he has brought to us. And we pray that we may be able to do something to satisfy him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Nataki Mataji.